All right, light. Let me see. Can everyone hear me all right?
Yes.
Okay. I never said public speaking was one of my assets. So. My name is Rick Case. I've been a Watermark member for about 8 years now, and it's coming back. And I have been in divorce care leader about 5 years now. So they have tapped me to do the last testimony. Now, tonight we're talking about moving on and growing closer to God. And that's basically what my testimony is going to be about tonight, a journey of faith. So with that, I'll start. And if I'm not loud enough, do this for me. My journey of faith has been a long road. As far back as I can remember, I believed in God. But for most of my life, the belief wasn't based upon me having a relationship with him, but instead came from being absolutely sure that man didn't create our universe. I often tell people back then, I was a believer, but not a follower. I attended church a lot as a kid, and then again when I began having kids. I was a member of one of the mainline denominations that we around here often refer to as dead churches. So my commitment to God was about an hour and a half a week. Reading the Bible? Nope. I never did or was even asked to. Until I was in my 50s, the only Bible I owned was the one I had given, one I was given when I was baptized at 10 years old. And it was up in the attic somewhere in a moving box. I really didn't even think much about God until I had an urgent need for him. This happened after 19 happy years of marriage and 3 great kids, when my wife had an affair with an old college boyfriend. Suddenly, I was on my knees praying to God to save my marriage and my family. In 4 short months, I found myself divorced. Unexpectedly, my wife then chose to move out of state to be with her boyfriend. She never came back. So here I was, divorced, and raising 3 young children on my own. So what did I do? I blamed God for not answering my desperate prayers to save my marriage. God was pretty much dead to me for the next 15 years. That's not to say these 15 years were all bad. Soon after the divorce, out of the blue, a company offered to buy my business, which allowed me to be a stay-at-home Mr. Mom until all the kids were off to college. I really enjoyed being Mr. Mom. Prior to my divorce, my wife was a good mother, but even she admitted that homework and discipline were not her strong suits. So guess what Dad was in charge of when I got home? Homework and discipline, 2 of my kids' favorite things. But being a Mr. Mom all those years allowed me to build strong relationships with my kids that still endure today. About 5 years after my divorce, I started to date again since my ex-wife had remarried. I soon met Terry, the wonderful woman I've been married to for the last 14 years. Terry and I actually dated for almost 5 years because my 3 kids and her 2 kids were in different school districts, and we had no desire to upset their lives. The thought of getting married before the last 2 were at least in their senior year of high school where they didn't have to move just didn't make sense to us. Terry, my wife, was a follower of Christ when I met her. She was always asking me to go to church with her, but I usually declined. One of God's greatest gifts in my life was when Terry agreed to be unequally yoked to me in marriage. We got married on a beach in Maui in January 2004 with all 5 of our kids by her side. Even after marrying a Christian like Terry, God still wasn't a part of my life. Instead, my life, like we saw in the example tonight, simply revolved around my wife and family again. That is until about 11 a.m. on August 15th, 2010. I was on a walk around my neighborhood and was thinking about my wife and life in general. She was at home recovering from a 14-hour-long major surgery resulting from her second bout with breast cancer. I remember thinking, is this all there is? Suddenly, I had a profound experience. As I was walking, God literally stopped me in my tracks and told me in my heart and that my anger and rejection of him had gone on long enough. I then felt him tell me, this is not all there is. And that I was immediately to go get a Bible, where I would learn how much more life could be. When I collected myself enough to walk again, I hurried home, got in my car, and bought the second Bible I ever owned, since my first one was still somewhere up in the attic. I can still point to the exact spot in my neighborhood where this happened. God literally came and got me, even when I wasn't looking for him. When Todd Wagner, our minister here, tells Watermarkers that the Bible is simply a story of rescue, I have to agree with him. I was drowning in a sea of nothingness, and God threw me a lifeline. Along with this wake-up call, God immediately gave me a love for Scripture. I had never before sat down and read the Bible. But soon, reading the Word became as necessary to me as breathing. Reading the Bible taught me the importance of prayer, and before long, I was having ongoing talks with God throughout the day. As all followers of Christ eventually discover, God has a plan for our lives. God's next step for me was to put me somewhere I could be led and mentored by mature believers. Even though I hadn't been attending church with my wife, she had been visiting Watermark with her niece, who was a Watermark member. I started visiting Watermark too. I had never been to a church like it. To say it's a Bible-based church is an understatement. All the Scripture I'd begun feeding on seemed to come alive in the messages that were preached. And all the contemporary music we used to make fun of in my dead church sounded so heartfelt and so appropriate. For most of my life, going to church had felt like a chore that just needed to be done. Now I found myself not just looking forward to church, but feeling the need to go, the need to be surrounded by fellow believers. Terry and I soon made the decision to become Watermark members. As part of this membership, we began to serve on the coffee team and became members of a community group. From the beginning, we understood the purpose and advantages of living in community, to spur one another on towards love and good deeds. But early on, we found it hard to be transparent. We've gotten over that. Our community group remains one of God's greatest blessings to us. For the next couple of years, things rocked along pretty steady. My knowledge and understanding of Scripture continued to grow. My prayer life became deeper and richer, and our community group continued to grow closer. Sunday mornings at Watermark had become my favorite part of the week. Then about 5 years ago, after walking alongside a couple who were divorcing in our community group, I was approached by someone on staff who had met with that couple and us, our community group as a whole, while we were working through the divorce. But anyway, he knew my story. He offered me an opportunity to serve and lead here in divorce care. He thought I had gifts that could be used to serve others walking down a similar road that I had walked. My first inclination was to say no. I had never done any counseling or worked in ministry. Further, I wasn't sure I wanted to dredge up old memories from my own divorce. But I prayed about it, telling the Lord that I didn't feel qualified to do such a thing. But I had this nagging feeling that I was supposed to do this even though I didn't want to. Then I remembered something I heard at a Watermark community group seminar. We were told that as a community group member, we weren't to give others our worldly advice, but instead are to point them to Scripture. Well, I could do that. And besides, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us that we're all ministers of reconciliation. So I called Watermark back and accepted the opportunity to serve here in divorce care. Looking back, this is one of the most important decisions I've made with regards to my journey of faith. I've now been a leader in divorce care for over 5 years. Like all leaders in Watermark's recovery ministries, I've learned that the answer to recovering from any hurt, hang-up, or habit is the same. It's Jesus. Although working in a ministry like divorce care is tough, God's given me the opportunity to share his love with hurting people and to remind them of what Christ can do in their lives. Prior to leading in divorce care, one of the areas I needed to grow in was in sharing my faith with others. Since joining divorce care, I've had many opportunities to share my faith and have even had the privilege of getting to lead several people to Christ. After all, a lot of people going through divorce are truly at come to Jesus moments in their lives. Divorce care has also led me to another activity, mentoring and shepherding other men, especially those I've led to Christ. At any point in time, I'm meeting regularly with four or five men. In addition to just encouraging them, I try to help them along in their journey of faith. This means I work with them in reading and understanding Scripture and learning the importance of prayer. I also attempt to get them plugged in somewhere at Watermark where they'll be surrounded by other believers. Whether it's working in divorce care or mentoring other men, a strength I possess is the advantage of being old enough to have some perspective on life. Although I have lots of favorite scripture verses, one of my top life verses is Romans 8:28, which says, "And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose." In divorce care, I'm often asked by participants, "Why did God let this happen to me?" I remind them that in John 16:33, Jesus tells us, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." I also remind them that much of our trouble is caused by sin, our own or someone else's. This is especially true in divorce situations. But this is where Romans 8:28 kicks in. In this verse, we're promised that no matter what our trouble is, God will take the situation and somehow use it for our ultimate good. I sometimes do a little exercise with people to prove the validity of the promise of Romans 8:28. I learned this from a book written by Randy Alcorn. It works best with people like me that are old enough to have a little perspective in their lives. But here's how it works. You take a sheet of paper, and on one side write the 10 worst things that have ever happened to you. Then you turn the sheet over and write the 10 best things that have ever happened to you. In most cases, if you've lived long enough, in other words, given God enough time, at least three or four of the best things that have ever happened to you wouldn't have occurred if one of the worst things hadn't happened. In my own case, one of the worst things that ever happened to me, my divorce, eventually led me to being in a ministry that allows me to serve and love people and remind them of the goodness of God. Further, what I've learned doing this has also prepared me for leading my community group and leading in other ministry opportunities where I get to help bear other people's burdens. And this is just one example in my life where God took something bad that's happened to me and used it for my own good. In fact, if I look back over my life, I can see how God was with me, how he's always worked for my good, even when I wasn't abiding in him. And since I've become a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ, I can see that every path he's put me on has served to strengthen my faith in him. Whether I'm working in a ministry or mentoring someone, whenever I tell a person about the goodness of God and the freedom we have in Christ, I'm reminding myself of the same things. I always get as much out of the experience as they do, maybe even more. I think God has been strengthening my faith for a reason. About 2 years ago, we learned that my wife, Terry, has early onset Alzheimer's. We met this news not with anger or fear, but instead with faith that God would get us through this. No matter what happens, we know that this is not the end of the story. We know that we'll be together for eternity with Christ in heaven, because we both put our trust in him for our salvation. And these days we lean heavily on that salvation as well as God's faithfulness. Lately I find myself reading 2 Corinthians 4 verses 16 through 18 a lot. It says, "Therefore we do not lose heart, though Therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, what is unseen is eternal." So how far have I come in my own journey of faith? Years ago, I was devastated by my divorce. In my ignorance, I blamed God and shut him out of my life for a long time. Now my wife and I are facing a difficult struggle, but this time I'm depending on God and his goodness and trusting his promises. I have faith that somehow God will work this for our good.